Okay, so so we are, while most of the shiurim are very halacha l'maisa, this is, I think we're going to stay a little bit earlier tonight. This seems to be an issue more within the Gemara and how it comes out in Shulchan Aruch as opposed to the after effects of it. But it is a pretty important issue. That is, how do you know somebody changed their status? Right? Somebody shows up and says, well, first of all, somebody shows up in shul ever and says, hi, I just moved in, I'd like to be a member here. So how much are we required to check for anybody that person is actually Jewish? And then we get into the scenario of a person who comes and says, you know, I'm a convert, but everything is good now. So do we trust that person? And then a person who we knew wasn't Jewish and now disappears for a couple weeks and shows up once again and he's Jewish. So how much evidence do we need that that person is actually Jewish that we would accept them, and accept them for what? There is a couple of different statuses as to what a person might be accepted for. They might want to be accepted for a minyan. Would we accept them for an aliyah? Would we accept them to be a chazan? Would we accept them to lean Parsha Zachor? Would we accept them to marry our children? Would we accept them to give them zichuyot if they want to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael? Right? All of these are important, are questions that come up, and depending on, and how do we understand a person either keeping or changing their status? So the Gemara... Oh, I forgot to post here. I did copy a few sources here. One second. Doing the drive. Here you go. Recent. Get shareable link. And we're going to make the link open. We're gonna copy the link, and now we're gonna go to Zoom and the chat, and we're going to post the link. Okay, that should work if anybody wants. It's really just the Beis Yosef Shulchan Aruch and one further page. So there is a Gemara which the Beis Yosef alludes to here on the top of the Beis Yosef on page Kuf Sadi Beis, where the Beis Yosef only says that it's a plukta de Rabbi Yehuda v'chachamim perek acholetz, v'ifzika hilchasa k'chachamim da'amri hachi. And we paskin like the chachamim. Now, the truth is a little bit more complicated than that. So I'll share with you the Gemara. The Gemara says, on daf mem vavam beis, the bottom of vavam beis, tanun rabbanon, nishabava amar gerani. A person shows up and says, I'm a ger. So yachol nikablenu. Right? So we should just accept him. So tamud lomar idcha. B'muchzak lach, only when it's established to you. Meaning, it sounds like the pasuk, it's actually quoting a pasuk. What is that pasuk? Right? It's a pasuk about geirus. V'chi agur idcha ger be'artzachem. So idcha, meaning it needs to be sourced for you. B'muchzak lach. Bav eidav imo minayim. What about if witnesses come along with him? Right? How do we know that we can accept that? So tamalom v'chi agur idcha ger. That there's going to be a convert who's going to dwell amongst you, meaning in all cases, meaning not necessarily that you have to see the beis din happen, but if a person shows up and says, hi, I'm here, and here are my eidim, so therefore we will then accept them. So already there's a question. Wait a second. So this guy has to walk around the rest of his life with these two eidim saying that, hi, we're here to validate this person's geirus, right? So that can't be. So rather, it must be that he has some kind of shtar, some type of document that he's going to be able to prove. So then the Gemara goes to Ein li ba'aretz, b'chutzlaretz, that's only in Eretz Yisrael. How do we know that it would apply in chutzlaretz? And it quotes a couple of psukim for that as well. So the Gemara then comments, his Amar of Sheshis, the Amri Shamanu Shiniskar Bevastin Shalploni. What about witnesses come and say, not that we saw him be the one who went to the mikvah, but rather we heard that he converted in such and such a basin. So Salka Daita Chamina Lola Hemni. No, I might have thought maybe I shouldn't believe him. So Kamash Balan, so therefore we accept him. I'm sorry. I skipped the point. The Gemara asks a question. Wait a second, why do we need special psukim to say that we accept Gerim? whenever there are two Edom establish the facts. So if two Edom come along and say that we saw this person testify, so obviously we should believe him. So what do we need the Psukim for? So the Gemara answers that no, that they don't necessarily have to have seen the actual Edus, but rather if there are people that can verify their testimony, that's going to be sufficient. So the Gemara, so here we go. So the Beis, so if we could go back into the Beis Yosef here. So the Beis Yosef says, right in the second section there, Bav Eidav Imo Minayin Tam Lomer V'chi Agur Mikom Malkom Uve Gemara Bahu Ve'Eidav Imo Krol Lamli Samar Rav Sheshes Da Amri Shamanu Shinisgai Beveis Nishel Ploni. Right, where the Pasuk is coming to tell you not just that you had Eidim that actually saw it, but Eidim that heard about it, that should be sufficient. So the V'chas of Harash, so then the Beis Yosef continues, right around the first page of that source sheet that I sent out. He says, V'chas of Harash, Alzeh, V'havi Eidus de Gilui Milsehu. Right? It's Eidus because it's something that's available. V'efshar dehain, but the Gemara, the Rush comments, V'efshar dehainu dafka aliba de Rebbe Yehuda de Mekel. It could be that that's only according to Rebbe Yehuda, who is Mekel, V'amar af b'chutz la'aretz, and says that work in chutz la'aretz ain't tzarich l'havi raya. About the Rabbanon, but the Rabbanon, the Amri, bein be'eretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz, tzarich l'havi raya, dilma raya beruah ve'edus beruah bayi ad kan l'shono. But the Rosh says, no. It could be that in Eretz Yisrael, it could be that the Rabbanon actually paskin, though, if you could work through the Gemara there, but it could be the Rabbanon actually paskin, that you actually require a full 100% edus that such a person would become Jewish. So that's a real pain in the neck. So that means that anybody who walks... So this is Gemara is talking about a ger. So anytime a ger walks into any shul, he's got to be walking around with his documents with him. Is that what this means? So probably not. What this is really referring to is a person who we knew was once a ger. Right? This Gemara is talking about a person who... He hung around. For a while, he wasn't Jewish. We never counted him for a minyan. He disappears for a week or two and shows up again and says, hi, I'm Jewish. So he is now looking for a change of status, right? He wasn't Jewish, and now he wants us to believe him that he's Jewish. If that's the case, he's going to require real edus, right? But this guy shows up in another shul, and nobody's ever heard of him, so perhaps this won't apply. That's the next section of the Beis Yosef, right? So this is really the main thing that the Gemara talks about. So, if you look in the next section, the Beis Yosef, right, the bottom half of page Kuf Tzadi Beis, so he continues on, it says, U'masha kasev, u'masha tzorech edus dafka kishi adanu shehu gai, right, it's only if we knew that he was a guy. Kein kasu shamatosus, that's what Tosus makes that point, and the Rush makes that point, shei lo hichranu shehaya gai, neman b'migo, right, if we never knew that he was a guy, so then he's believed with a migu. What is a migu? So migu is generally a term used in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat, in monetary law. But a migu is, if he was going to lie, he could have made a much better lie. So because he's saying this, so therefore we have the right to believe him. Why? So if we never recognized him, and he shows up and says, I was once a ger, but I'm converted now. So we believe him because he could have just kept his mouth shut and said, I'm Jewish, right? And how dare you doubt me, right? So because he let himself open and say, oh no, I have a gear and I converted, so then we would believe him. D'ibay Amar Yisrael ani, the Meheman, ki the mashma b'reish p'sachim, as his mashma in the beginning of p'sachim. Where is in the beginning of Masechas p'sachim? So he tells you, gabi ahu goy, davasalik v'achel p'sachim b'yushalayim. Because by that non-Jew who went and ate the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. So this should be familiar with you guys, right? We've quoted this. This is a famous Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, plus we used this for Shabbos Agadol Drasha a couple of years ago. And the story goes that this non-Jew used to show up in Yerushalayim every year come Pesach time, and he would partake of the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara records that he told and said... Who was it? There was Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, I believe. find it quickly. I'm not on the right page. Okay, but I think it was Rehud Ramseir or something. Well, he showed off to one of the Tanayim. You know, I go to Yerushalayim every year, and I partake in the Korban Pesach, and nobody stops me, right? Nah, right? And you can't do anything about it. So he said, oh yeah, do they give you the tail of the Korban Pesach? To which he said, no. He says, that's because they really know. So then the next year, he shows up in Yerushalayim on Korban Pesach, and he says, hey, can I have the tail? And they say, we don't give the tail out. He says, oh, come on, you don't think I'm really Jewish? Right? Wink, wink, I want the tail. And they say, wink, wink, you know, please step over there, because they realize that something is up, and they realize that he was really a non-Jew, and they actually, and the Gemara actually records that they killed him as a result. So what that means is, you know, why they killed him, what the purpose of that, and is that really what it means? But anyways, that's what the Gemara comments. So we dwelled a couple of years ago for Shabbos HaGadol, we discussed the issue that Tosfos raises of, hey, wait a second, why is that Tana not in Yerushalayim for Pesach, right? Why is he sending this code such that it will be discovered by the Kohanim in order to take care of this guy, right? Why is the Tana himself not heading to Yerushalayim for Pesach? This is really bugging me. Who is the Tana? Let me just... I'm really who you see Mika. Right. As it was Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So they made this comment, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is where he lives in Nitzivan, and yet his net spreads all the way to Yerushalayim. That was the comment made. So Tosfos raises the question, why is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira not in Yerushalayim? Isn't it Erev Pesach, right? Shouldn't all the Jews be there? So that we discussed in Ishir a couple of years ago. But the Tosfos right before that asks, hey, wait a second, that's interesting. Why did they believe this guy to be Jewish in the first place? Right? This guy is showing up, he's saying, hi, I'm here to bring the Korban Pesach, and they believed him, even though he wasn't Jewish. Hey, why aren't they, why did they just trust him? Now, the truth is, if you get to that point, you have this, like, really, really major question, right? How do you trust anybody, right? Anybody that shows up in Shul, how do you trust them, right? Anybody that showed up in the Beis HaMikdash, were they responsible to bring some kind of, credit, you know, some kind of driver's license, clarifying that they're Jewish, right? So we don't assume that way. And Tosfos there says, well, we follow the Rove. What is the Rove there? So presumably it's the Rove that most people showing up to Yerushalayim in order to bring a Korban Pesach are in actuality Jewish. So we have the right to trust that. We have the right to trust that. But Tosfos seems to be implying that maybe there are other cases where not. So let's get back into the Beis Yosef here, right? So we learn Bereish Pesach and Gabi Yehu Goy Dahav Asalik Va'ach Pesach Mishalayim V'chassu Arav Amagid Perkid Gimel Hilchas Yisur Rebiya B'Shem HaRamban V'HaRashba V'Rov V'Forshim V'Chein Kasav HaRambam Sham El Shekasav Amedvar Mamurim. However, they added in, maybe that's only in Eretz Yisrael U'Va'osim HaYamim Shechazaka HaKol Sham. That maybe it's only time when there was a Chazaka that everybody there was Jewish B'Cheskas Yisrael V'Abuchutz La'aretz Tzarek L'Havi Raya. Maybe in Chutz La'aretz he does have to bring a proof. And maybe only then, if he brings proof, would he be permitted to marry a Jew, or maybe that's a chumrah when it comes to marriage. Okay, v'chassav Rav Amagid she'efshar she'yatzal lo zem yishum da'hu uvda d'reish p'sachim b'eretz Yisrael, but the Rav Amagid says that no, that you could believe him based on that story in the beginning of p'sachim, v'ayukulam Yisraelim v'al s'mal kasav d'im ein anu makirim bo shehu gai ne'man b'migush ha'yachol lomar Yisrael ani v'ayene'man k'mo she'ahayu chachamu omer perak ha'cholets livnei adam she'heim pegumim she'yigala. Right, which is another very interesting Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. Right, so there's a Gemara in Pesachim that seems to indicate that this guy shows up in Yerushalayim and they trusted him to be Jewish, even though in actuality he wasn't. But we just see from there that you don't have to bring any proof. We have this Migu that he could have just not said anything, even though that's not necessarily helping here, because Because who says that we should believe anybody that they're Jewish? And then finally, there's this other Gemara that Beis Yosef is quoting from Maseches Yevamos, about a two dafim ahead before what we said, by the person who was pogum that he should go into galus. So this is also an interesting Gemara, just the context. It's actually a machlokas about what the status is of a child of an intermarriage. Of a child, the mother is Jewish, the father is not Jewish. Right? So what do we know? We know that child is Jewish, right? That we know. Is the child a mamzer, though? Right? Is the child a mamzer in that case? So the Gemara there, where was it? Then, hey, I'm at Aleph. There you go. So the Gemara has a machlokas back and forth. Several people are on each side of this story. And finally, the Gemara comments that Rav was matir. Rav was willing to be, was willing to permit it. He was willing to say that a child of a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother is going to be considered Jewish. Now, we had the halacha a while ago about it could be that child's not permitted to marry a kohen, right? That we learned about that. That's a different question. But it's the child of mamzer. So the Gemara says, well, Rav said it's kosher. So Amar Lei, so this guy who asked the question says, oh great, so I have a shidduch for your daughter. Right? But let me marry your daughter? Because my father was not Jewish, my mother was, but if you want to make sure that everybody realizes that the child of a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father is Jewish and totally kosher, how about you let me marry your daughter? Right? To which Rav is like, no thanks, right? Lo yavinan lach, right? I'm not going to allow her to marry you. So Amr Shimi ben Chaya l'Rav, so Shimi ben Chaya says, Amri Inchi, people will say, Gamma Madi Akva Rakta, right? A camel in media dances in a kav, meaning it's not, it's a figure of speech, meaning it's not for real. So Hakava Gamli, Baha Medi Velo Rakta, right? It's not happening, right? It's a figure of speech, like, you know, you're some kind of hypocrite. So Amalei, Rav responded by saying, In Yahavi Ki Yeshua Ben Nun, Lo Yavin Le Barti. He says, even if this guy was as great as Yeshua Ben Nun, I wouldn't allow him to marry my daughter. So Amar Lei, they said, Yihavak Yeshua ben Nun, Imar lo yoiv le achrini yavi le. If he were really as great as Yeshua ben Nun, then if you wouldn't give it to him, other people would. Meaning, very good, you know, you want to prove a point, and he's as great as Yeshua ben Nun, you won't let your daughter marry him. But other people would be thrilled to let their daughter marry him. But hi, Imar lo yoiv le, if you don't allow him to marry your daughter, achrini lo yavi le, no one else will let him marry their daughter either. So lo hava ka'azam akame, so Rav wouldn't change his mind. He's like, look, I gave you the psak. I'm willing to write it up. I'll send it. I'll even tweet it out and post it on Yeshiva World News. But I'm not letting you marry my daughter. To which this guy responded by saying, but he still wouldn't leave. So yayiv be'eni v'shachu. So Gemara actually records that Rav looked upon this guy and he died. Right, which is our second dead guy of this shir so far, right? But he looked at him and he died. So there's quite, why did they let him die? So in the footnotes of the article, it actually quotes from the Ben Yehoyada, who suggests that that this guy was being such a nudnik that, you know, if the guy would have come for a psak and Rav would have told him, you know, this is the psak, but, you know, good luck finding a shidduch, and he would have left, so everyone thing would have been fine. But the fact that he came and made such a big deal about it, and Rav was still saying no, so that's going to be a problem. That actually is what's going to cause the psak to not be so great. So what did Rav not to be?
I have to say, interject here for a moment. It reminds me of, I'm not sure if this happens in Philadelphia, of Older Rebbeim giving kashrut supervision to a particular dinner, and then they don't eat there, or they eat fish or vegetables.
Yeah, although I think we could distinguish between holding of your own. Just to be clear, I would eat at all Keystone K establishments, just to want to get that out there. But it's a little different when your own child, right? I want my daughter marrying this guy who's like a complete nudnik, right? That's okay. So the Gemara continues on and actually quotes a couple of other Amorayim of saying that that it's mutter. And then another story that Chi Atal Kami de Rav Yehuda Amar Leh, so somebody came in front of Rav Yehuda and said this, So what did Rabbi Yehuda tell him? Zil itamar unasiv basminach. He says, go hide yourself or marry a girl of your own type. Meaning what? Like, look, you know, a person whose father is not Jewish and mother is, right? So sorry, your shidduch chances are not so great. But what did Rav tell him to do? What did Rav Yehuda tell him to do? Which is really the purpose for our Gemara. Rav Yehuda told him, go to another town and just don't tell anybody, right? You don't have to go and publicize the fact that your father wasn't Jewish. Just say, you know, I'm a guy and I'm looking to get married, right? And see what happens there. So based on that, the Beis Yosef and Rishonim before him say, aha, what do we see? We see that a person who shows up and says he's Jewish, we are not mechuyev to go and check into him to make sure everything is okay. And then he concludes in the Beis Yosef and says, umaisim b'chol yom she'orchem bayim, and he's really quoting from the Smag, but umaisim b'chol yom she'orchem bayim ve'in anu bod k'machareim v'shosim anu imahim yayin v'ochlin mishchitasan. Right, people show up all the time, and we don't check to make sure that they have good yichus. And we drink the wine with them, and we eat from their shechita, right? So that seems to be fine. Now there is a concept. Truth is, now it's occurring to me. There is the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin does talk about checking for a marriage. The idea of malu asu b'yochsin, that there is an idea of being very careful about genealogy. So the truth is, this Gemara in Yevamu specifically is about genealogy. Right, and yet he seems to be telling him to be makel. I'm just looking to see if anybody. I don't know. Okay, I'm not sure why why people would look into him unless you just say, look, that's the responsibility of the other person, right? The other person has to check. If they don't check, then they don't check. Okay. So anyways, that is the story with this Beis Yosef. So you can take a look in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch actually adds a couple of things that are not in the Gemara. So the Gemara again, the Shulchan Aruch is Reish Tamaches Sif Yud. So I think page 3 of the sources he sent out, where he says, Kusi o kusis shabav amar niskayarti, right? A kusis, or a male or female non-Jew, who originally wasn't Jewish, that's kusi is covering up for a non-Jew, shabav amar niskayarti, and comes and says, I converted b'viz dinu shalploni, karai, as befitting me. Enu neman, he's not believed if he just comes and says it himself. Lavu bakal. Achiyavi Edim, until he brings Edim to verify this fact. The Imri Inum Noagim Kedarche Yisrael Ba'usim Kol HaMitzvos Harehu Becheskas Geri Tzedek. But if we see him, Noagim, acting like Darche Yisrael and doing all the mitzvos, so then he would be a chazaka that he's a Ger Tzedek. Va'afal pi she'ein sham Edim shem Edim b'fdemim Yiskaru. Even if there aren't Edim, even if there aren't witnesses that can testify in front of whom he was converted. Whoa, what is that talking about? So the truth is, that wasn't in the Beis Yosef, surprisingly, but it is a Rambam. If you look, those that have the page, if you can look in the Be'er HaGola Chavtes. The Be'er HaGola in the standard Shulchan Aruch is the top right. Those that have the fancy schmancy editions, I don't know, probably also the top right, or whatever, the top outside corner of the page, I should say. Okay, I don't know. In the standard edition, we're on the right side of the page, so it's the top right. If you're on the left side of the page, it would be the top left, I think. So it says Chaf Tes. So usually the Be'er HaGola is just quoting you sources. So here he said, here he also is, but he says, right, Rambam Perek Yud Gimel Mihilchus Yisur Biya Din Tes Yud Me'ahu Dekarule Bar Armiyasa Bam Ravi Asi Milo Tavla Linidusa. Right, so that is a Gemara that, and where the Rambam says this. However, the Rambam doesn't actually say it beferish. The Rambam is just stating this halacha. Right, the Rambam just says somebody who we knew, a giyorah shereinu noheges gedarchi Yisrael tamid kion shetitpul v'nidas v'tavir shumim meisasav chiyotzi v'zev achin ger shenor gedarchi Yisrael shetovel l'keri v'usa komitzos harei ilu b'cheskas geri tzedek, even though there were no edim that testified to that fact. So where does the Rambam get this from? So we don't know, right? The Rambam doesn't give you his sources, but the Nosikhil, the Magen Mishnah on the side of the page suggests that it's from the Gemara that we quoted earlier about the guy who couldn't get the right either the right basin together and said, oh well, he's been to the mikveh before. Right, he's been to the haven't they gone to the mikveh? Right, so we had a couple of different possibilities as to what that meant, but the Magen Mishnah is suggesting that the Rambam assumes that just means that qualifies as appropriate testimony that he must have had a actually good gerus. So that's enough for us to say that he's a good ger. Right, we ask it. The guy says, I converted. We say, well, where's your Eden? I don't have the Eden. They stayed behind. No one was there. He says, well, where's your document? Well, the funniest thing happened on my way back here, right? I was walking, and somebody came by, and I was eating this restaurant, kosher, of course, and he left with my jacket where my documents were. So sorry, I don't have my documents anymore. So what do we? I don't have anything. So the Shulchan Aruch is posketing that if he is acting in accordance with, Torah mitzvos, so we believe him even in the absence of Edom. Now, it can't be that he makes it up out of thin air, right? It just means he has ne'emanus for that, right? But it doesn't mean that we just somebody who shows up and we know it wasn't Jewish. And and is doing things, doing mitzvahs, doesn't have something that we accept him. It means that we would accept this in lieu of Edom if they are making that argument and saying that they actually did convert. So the Beis Yosef continues. But that's only enough for some things. We're not going to actually let him marry in until he either is able to produce Edim or his documentation. Or he actually goes to the mikveh in front of us, meaning we do a geiris l'chumra, because he had a chazaka of being a non-Jew. Aval. Misha Bub.
Just ask. You can say something like, how long is the Amazon River? Or tell me about
other parts. Okay. We're being joined by Alexa, or. So the base, the Shulchan Aruch continues. Misha Bub Amar Shu Obi Kochavim Viniskayer Bevastin Neman. Says, however, if a person shows up and said that we don't know, we didn't know that he wasn't Jewish. He shows up and says, I was once a convert, and I've since converted in a Beis Din. He's believed. Why? Shapesha aser hu apesha hitir. Which, Shulchan Aruch, that's actually what the Beis Yosef said. The Beis Yosef said migu, right? Which is a little, I'm not sure if it's a little different than this concept of pesha aser hu apesha hitir, which is literally the mouth that prohibits him is also the mouth that permits him, right? He could have just said nothing. Instead, he said, the only reason that he needs to say, I am Jewish now, is because he also supplied the fact that he wasn't Jewish once upon a time. But he didn't ever actually need to say that. And the Shach reiterates that point. So v'chasav Aram, the Rambam says, v'medver ma'amur in Beretz Yisrael, v'usen ha'yamim shecheskas ha'kol sham becheskas Yisrael. V'abuchutzlar sarach la'av yiraya, v'achar kach yisa Yisraelis, shemala asa v'yuchza. The Rambam says that what are we talking about here? Only in Eretz Yisrael, and in those days when most of the people were Jewish. But in chutzlaretz, you would actually have to bring a raya, and then you can marry a Jew, shemala asa v'yuchzen. Truth is, I'm not sure what the Shulchan Aruch is adding here, because the Shulchan Aruch already... The Rambam already says that. The Rambam said that we shouldn't marry them until they bring... He's talking about the second case, right? If somebody comes and says that they were not Jewish and then they convert, so we believe them. However, the Rambam says, but we shouldn't just marry them off of that, because we have a stricture when it comes to marriage. So comes the Shach and says, because of Abach, we're making even on that. Rav Asher, and even the Rambam would agree. Even the Rambam would agree to that today. Shekol mishpachos becheskas kashrusim kemosh nisbar be'Eben Ezer sefbeis below Amar Rambam ela b'mi shelo hakarnuhu ba'obi kochavim ba'am shelo hakarnuhu ba'obi kochavim ba'amar niskayarti beveistin ploni deneman midin migu hasam hudak Amar Rambam that feel hakamal asu b'yochsim. Right, that it's only would be in that case where he admits that he wasn't Jewish once upon a time, but if a person who just shows up and says, "Hi, I'm Jewish, marry me," so that would actually be okay, and we would accept that. Fine, that is the Rambam. Now, there is an interesting corollary. I think it's like, okay, does this come up outside of Geirus, right? So what are we talking about here? If a person has a chazakah of being a Jew, so we assume that he continues to be, right? We you know, a person shows up, he says, "I'm Jewish," we believe them, right? The Tosfos and Yevamos actually says, because the majority of people that show up and are Jewish, and say they're Jewish, generally are Jewish. Otherwise, what are they doing showing up to, you know, Slichos at 5:45 in the morning or something, right? All right, we assume that such a person is actually going to be Jewish. But is there any other example where a person has a status and then changes their status and shows up one day and says, "Hi, I'm a new status"? So an example of that I was thinking would be a bar mitzvah, right? You have a child who was a child, right? Yeshua for many years was showing up in shul, and despite the fact that he already was 5'10", right, he wasn't being counted for a minyan. And all of a sudden he shows up one day and says, "Hi, I'm bar mitzvah now," right? So what allows us to just assume that his status would be changed? So on the last page I sent you, I copied a page from the Sefer Isha Yisrael. So Isha Yisrael is a sefer on Hilchos Tefillah. And there he's above the line and below. Above the line it just says, "Nar she'omer kvar malu lo shalosh esrei shana efshar letzafer b'minyan." If a child shows up and says, "I've already turned 13, so we are permitted to join him for a minyan. So continue. So in the footnote here, footnote Lamed, he quotes from the Kaf HaChayim, where he says, "The mutter lahamin lakatan miyusha b'dayta v'yir shemayim shubar mitzvah." Right? We could believe him. And from Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, "Shamati, I heard, dekeven shehu milsa davida legaluye." Right? It's something that will appear, something that will become clear at some point. I'm not sure why it will become clear at some point. Because, like, who says? But I guess it'll become clear because, I don't know, he'll get older. I'm not sure what he means by it's something that will become clear. And then he says, "Vegam shakatan yiri l'shakir," that the child is afraid to lie. "Shim aviv yishma mizeh hu yigarbo." But if his father hears about it, his father is going to yell at him. Right? So there's enough of a mirsas, there's enough of a fear that the child's not going to come in and lie about the fact that he's 13 when he's actually not. So efshar lahamin lo. We're permitted to believe him. However, if we look a couple lines down in that footnote, he does quote from Eben Ezer Simin Kuf Samech Tes, right, Shulchan Aruch, "De'ilin chalitza somchin davka al edus brura," that for the child to show up and say, "Hi, I'm ready to do chalitza," right? What's the case here? So this kid's older brother died without any children, and he was below bar mitzvah, so his older brother's wife needs to wait for him to turn bar mitzvah. So this kid feels really bad that he's making this woman wait before he could divorce her, and before he could do chalitza with her. So he just says, "Yeah, I'm bar mitzvah now." So that's not enough, right? Or, maybe even more sinister, she pays him off to say, "Right, oh, I'm really bar mitzvah already," right? So that's not, for that, we would actually require real edus brura, or at least some type of chazaka. So anyways, that's a little bit of an extension to these sugyas to outside of the realm of geirus. We can just take one more halacha here, just to the halacha yud aleph, which is sort of the corollary to this. Also not coming from it is coming from a gemara. The Beis Yosef does quote it, but we can just do it in the Shulchan Aruch, that mishahaya muchzak b'Yisrael sha'amar niskayarti b'ini levein atzmi. What about somebody who is Jewish, and then jumps in and says, "Oh, by the way, I converted by myself." So what do we call somebody who converts by themselves? We call them a non-Jew, right? So this guy comes along and says, "Oh, yeah, I converted once upon a time." "Oh, yeah, who was there?" a Beis Din, me, myself, and I, right? And that's it. So he's basically saying, I'm not Jewish. So what do we do about that? Right, a guy all of a sudden shows up and says, I'm not Jewish, so we believe him. What about for many years he was? We assumed he was Jewish. Well, we believe him anyways, and we say that he's not Jewish. But there is some corollaries to that, right? Now we're going to say this guy is not Jewish. What about his children? All right, what about his children? He says, oh, by the way, my wife wasn't Jewish either, right? What about his children? So the Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody had a chazakah to be a Jew, and he says, I converted by myself, meaning I'm not Jewish, yesh lo banim eino neman al habanim, he is not believed with regards to the children, aval neman al atzmo, but he is believed by himself. So we're going to believe him that he's not Jewish, but we're not going to believe him that his children are not Jewish, right? Why? L'shavyo nafshi chaticha d'yisura. There is a concept that, right, he has made himself a chaticha d'yisura, which is a terminology of the Gemara, right? He has made himself not kosher, so to speak. But he could only prohibit himself, he can't prohibit others. The asr v'as Yisrael ad sheyitpul b'fnei basin, to prohibit himself to a b'as Yisrael until he does tevila in front of basin. But are we going to go ahead and apply that to his children as well? Well, just because the father is, doing something crazy, that's not going to apply to the children. This is added on by the Shach here. The Shach says, Losh Rosh, Vahadak Amar Shineman, Lipsul Asatmo, Lulinyan Zesh, Imba Abbas Yisrael Pasla. Right? It's not, like, he also could say, I'm not Jewish, what about the girl that he was married to? So there the Rosh says also, it's not going to apply to her either. The Kaimalan Eno, the Mesim Asatmo, Rasha. Right? A person not going to make himself into a Rosh, of Od Milsa, the Tamiyahi, it's crazy, the Ihu Pasul, Van of Ksherim, Hilkach, Ein Edusan Klum. His Edus is meaningless, Afil Inyan Atmo, the Imba Abbas Yisrael, Lo Yersalu, Inyan Zem Mahani Edusan La'atz the Shavi Chaticha Deisur V'Yisur V'Vas Yisrael Adkan V'Ayim Avach etc. Says if he the Shach is adding on more that if he actually married a woman that we're actually not going to believe him in that case, and we're not going to believe him that he's going to be puzzled, his children are going to be kasher, that can't be. So in that case, we're not going to take his testimony because that would then have applications to others. Okay, so this is some of the nitty gritty out there. Next week, hopefully, so Sif Yud Beis is back to the finally the issue of actually bot kimachra, figuring out if this person is going to be religious. What is the importance? What is the responsibility of the Beis Din versus the responsibility of the person? I'll just throw in. I was listening to last week's headlines podcast today. So the first, it's actually divided into two, but the first section has to do with the issue of surrogate motherhood. We were talking about this last week. Who's the real mother, the genetic mother or the host mother? So he had that discussion. Remember, David Lichtenstein is very much on the side that it has to be the genetic mother because it's conceivable today that you can mix a sperm and an egg and insert it into a cow. And then the child, and then all of a sudden have a child born from the cow. So does that mean that the child, either you say the child, you could check the child, or the child is responsible to honor the cow because of kibud av v'im, right? So he holds like it's inconceivable that could be the case, but whatever. But they had a discussion about Geirus, and he threw in a tshuva from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that says that if you convert somebody who is not really fit to convert, or it's not, this is really talking about the Geir Katan from last week, but it could have other applications, not going to work for them, so you're over on Lifnei Iver, right? You have violated Lifnei Iver, in a way Deoraisa, right? Because you are now going to have a lack of Shmir Shabbos on your watch. And you're going to now have a lack of Shmir. Every time the guy violates an Avera, it's going to be on your head. So that's a little far-fetched, but that's, I guess, what we'll get into next week. What is the responsibility of Beis Din, Legabe, the converts that they oversee? All right, we'll stop here. Good to see everybody. Mr. Hashem, it seems like everybody was able to hear me on the microphone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks to my father, although it doesn't seem to have much range, we discovered before. We'll have to play with it another time. Okay, have a good night, everybody.
Right.